Let us pray. Take my lips, O Lord, and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. And take our hearts and set them ablaze with your love. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to the last Sunday of Epiphany, or as I like to call it, in case you're still confused, Sunday. You see, throughout the season of Epiphany, we have been given glimpses into Jesus's true identity, a sequence of aha moments, which have all led us to this day, when we get to see things with a little more clarity. On the day of Epiphany itself, if you remember back, we saw Jesus honored by pagan wise men who had followed a star announcing his birth. And that scene invited us to ask, who then is this Jesus? On the first Sunday after the Epiphany, we saw Jesus baptized by his cousin John, and we saw the heavens torn open, and we heard God's voice say of this Jesus, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Next, we saw Jesus demonstrate godlike knowledge when he told Nathanael that he saw him sitting beneath the fig tree before he was called. And Nathanael called Jesus Son of God and King of Israel. We saw Jesus gathering disciples around himself and proclaiming the nearness of the kingdom of God and proclaiming a time of repentance like Elijah and the prophets of old. We saw Jesus exercised divine authority when he silenced and cast out a demon after it called him the Holy One of God. And last week, we saw Jesus liberating people from their captivity to illness and the demonic, like Moses liberating Israel from captivity in Egypt. So, who then is this Jesus? Well, in case you're still confused, you're in luck. This last Sunday of Epiphany gives us one last glimpse, one final aha moment, and it comes to us in a blinding flash. Today, we see Jesus transfigured in divine glory, conversing with the two biggest players of the Old Testament, Moses and Elijah. Moses represents the law, and Elijah represents the prophets. The two great figureheads of the faith stood before the disciples. And I think it's safe to assume that Peter, James, and John were having the biggest Jewish fanboy freakout moment of their lives. This would have been incredible for them. But before Peter's rambling has a chance to spoil the moment, the mountaintop is engulfed in storm cloud, and God speaks again. "This is my Son, the Beloved." And now those words, they echo those we heard in the first Sunday after the Epiphany, but this time they're followed by a new command. Listen to him. And just as quickly as this moment began, it passes. And when the disciples look around, they no longer see Moses. They no longer see Elijah. They only see Jesus. Now, in case you're still confused, we don't need to build three tents. Moses, Elijah, and Jesus are not three co-equal authorities. This Jesus is the very same God who issued the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. And he is the very same God who passed before Elijah on another mountain. Jesus supersedes the law and the prophets not because they were faulty, but because in him they are fulfilled. To say it another way, the moral trajectory of the law and the prophets has its apex in the person of Jesus Christ. When God says from the cloud, "Listen to him," he passes the torch of divine authority from the law and the prophets to Jesus alone. In former days, God had spoken through Moses and Elijah, but now Jesus is what God has to say. The sum total of our aha moments in Epiphany have led us to this one fundamental truth. Jesus is our clearest and our primary revelation of God because Jesus is God in the flesh. If anyone is worthy of a tent, it is Jesus. But he is a God on the move, and we are not meant to stay here. And this is the beauty of our church calendar at work. Here, at the conclusion of Epiphany, we get a crystal clear view of who Jesus really is. But in the same moment that we have this clarity, we also stand on the precipice of Lent. Soon, our now clear vision will be obscured. Our celebratory alleluias will be silenced, and our crosses will be veiled. And in a liturgical sense, salvation, the hope of resurrection, and even Jesus himself will be hidden from our sight. Now we see Jesus clearly in the light of Epiphany, but come sunset today, we will enter that wilderness journey of Lent. And as Elisha is told thrice, our master will be taken from us this very day. Our transfiguration-induced flash blindness plunges us into the darkness of Lent, a season of temptation and uncertainty. In it, we are forced to make a sober assessment of our human condition, those violences that we inflict on one another, and the offenses against God we commit through them. But walking in the dark and having a greater awareness of our sin are not ends in themselves. They are meant to point us to something greater. And here, the beauty of the church calendar is on display again. For in Lent, Lent begins with a flash of light, and it will end in the very same way. Because there is one last glimpse for us to catch, one last aha moment to be had. The season of Epiphany may end today, but the greatest Epiphany is yet to come. For we do not know Jesus' true identity until we have been confronted with the cross, the grave, and the resurrection. The light of transfiguration pales in comparison to the glory of the crucified God. If Jesus is what God has to say, then on the cross, God says that sin is forgiven. In the grave, God says that death is defeated. And in the resurrection, God says that there is life yet to be had. Christ's crucifixion, his burial, and his being raised to life again unveil who he really is. When we gaze upon the face of Jesus lifted, buried, and raised, we see the very heart of God, eternally postured toward each one of us in love and always issuing a sovereign pardon for sin. The arc from Epiphany, Lent to Easter takes us from one light to another by the way of darkness. And the present light of Epiphany anticipates the greater light on the other side of Lent. And this pattern of light, dark, light serves to help us answer that question posed to us at the very beginning of Epiphany. Who then is this Jesus? This Jesus is the God who gives life to Moses and Elijah. This Jesus is the God who holds authority over stars and demons. This Jesus is the God who chooses to die on a cross for the sake of his enemies. This Jesus is the God who lays down his life and takes it up again. And this Jesus is the God who will transfigure each and every one of us into his very likeness. So, in case you're still confused, that is who Jesus is. Amen.
Amen.